I quickly realized there was definitely some low self-worth hanging around. There was just something that needed to be worked out. And I really was feeling actually so resistant to shadow. And anytime I feel resistant to a workshop, that usually means that it is the one that I need to dig into.
But I actually feel expanded that, yes, I'm on the right track. Yes, this is the path for me. And I almost can't even remember how I felt before that.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. Welcome back to Everyday Energetics, which is our series that's a more in-depth look and focus on how to unblock and really look at the energetics behind what you're unblocking. So may you be a Pathway member just interested in manifestation, or you're an a la carte holder, this will help you through other members' experiences of how they identify a block, they go in, they reprogram it, they use the tools concisely in order to start to shift their neural pathways. We got this great idea from one of our coaches, Amanda Blair, in the beginning of the year, who said, you know what would be really helpful is if we could actually just see how people unblock so we learn how to take the work deeper ourselves. So rather than it being a process episode where we hear their entire process around how they manifested something, we actually get to hear how, bam, this thing came up, very clearly a trigger, and this is exactly how they walk through either the DI, the journal prompts, a certain workshop in order to start to shift it. Especially because we get so many questions of like, how do I program this? What does it mean when you say reprogram in the DI? In all of the ways that we may not be understanding precisely the work, we get to hear other people's approaches to help us go a lot deeper in the process and have clarity for ourselves. We always keep these guests anonymous so that they can share very open and freely in a safe environment for everybody to benefit and learn from. I'm so grateful for this particular Everyday Energetics because we get so many questions on how to do the shadow workshop, or questions about shadows or finding your shadows. And she went ahead and walked through her entire process of revisiting it for a second time. And I want to highlight for everybody out there too, that yes, when you do this work, you begin manifesting. Again, we sent out the survey at the beginning of the year, and those who did the work weekly and they engaged and listened to every process episode, they listened to these kind of episodes like Everyday Energetics within the pathway, 90% of them manifest their list. But what I think is so important that both of these Everyday Energetic members shared with you is, yeah, that's awesome. Manifestation's awesome, and it's a bonus. But just how I feel personally as well, it's only icing on the cake. Because what really is important here is we are chiseling away at those onion layers that aren't our truths, that were put on us through shame, pain, and programming, and we begin to become our true, whole, worthy, authentic selves again. That is the most liberating thing on the planet. And especially at a time where tension is so high and huge things are happening in the world that are so important, but it's very easy to not stay grounded or to misplace our pain or our anger. And this gives us the freedom to get back into our true integrated state so that we can be more grounded and we can show up more fully without projecting that pain onto others or taking in others' pain, so that we can actually be a big part of changing the world and helping to vision hold these support systems for other people. So I love that mention. It is the most valuable part of this community and work. And I just want to thank everybody who is showing up to really reconnect with their true, whole, worthy, authentic self So a big thank you to both of these members and every other member out there who is going to be sharing their story. It is so helpful for the rest of us to see how to unblock and to do this process and make it our own.
So I'm a devoted pathway member, and I was getting ready to do up level, the next level, for the second time. I was so excited about it. And last time I did that workshop, I just felt so supercharged and so in my worth and in my body and in this place of peace. And I quickly realized within a few minutes of being on the first module that I actually needed to go back and do shadow again. There was definitely some low self-worth hanging around. There was just something that needed to be worked out. And I really was feeling actually so resistant to shadow. And anytime I feel resistant to a workshop, that usually means that it is the one that I need to dig into. So this was my second time with shadow. And I will say that my experience the second time around was a lot less scary. I think the first time you do shadow work, or the first time I did shadow work anyway, it felt so big, and meeting my shadow self was a little bit like meeting my current self at that time. And this time I felt so much more in touch and in tandem with my most magnetic self, and shining the light on the shadow self, just it felt like some healthy routine maintenance. And it felt like I was just kind of shining a flashlight down into a basement, and there were just some dusty spots that I needed to take a vacuum to.
One thing I really want to point out here that I think she highlights so well is how difficult shadow can be, especially the first time around. And for those of us who have experienced very deep trauma, which we always recommend, of course, doing this work side by side with a therapist who can really hold your hand through that trauma, through that unveiling and upheaval. One thing I'll hear a lot, I heard this actually recently from a family member who is interested in the work, but really afraid to do it because of how much trauma he experienced in childhood. And I just really want to highlight a post that our newest coach, Atara, had put out a week ago now. You can find it. It's our Pride post. And he gives such a wonderful introduction to the work, because if you go back and listen to his process episode, which we'll have linked below, he comes from a tremendous amount of trauma as well. And one thing that he really said was it was so helpful. So anybody who maybe has even purchased the pathway or a workshop or has been interested but has this same fear, he had such a great roadmap into the work suggestion. And if you, again, want to work side by side with him, please check the link below and you can book a session with him. He's amazing. Listen to his process episode first. You will definitely feel very comforted by him. And he said in the daily reprogramming exercise to do the magnetic DI first. So finding your magnetic self. And we can have that linked below here as well, which obviously will require a membership or buying a la carte. But when you do that first, it is so gentle, and you're introduced to that whole worthy, authentic self I was talking about before in the last member's share, that you get a glimpse and you get to feel what that feels like and see your most magnetic self. And it walks you through a very gentle, non-traumatic look just at your childhood and letting the trauma of your caretakers melt away so they could be your most magnetic caretakers to then let you blossom into your most magnetic self, so that you get to meet who your authentic essence is when all of these onion layers are peeled away. And once you're able to see that, he said, your subconscious just feels like it trusts a little bit more that this isn't going to be as abrupt and scary as one is worried about who has experienced very deep trauma. So I really wanted to highlight that for anybody, because there are probably quite a few here that are sitting and saying, oh my gosh, that's been my fear of this work. And again, I just really want to highlight, if you can have a support group around this work, always a therapist, but of course, if that isn't affordable, then a 12-step group, a support group, a friend who can deeply hold space during this experience, you can certainly click the link below to find or start your own My Magnetic Meetup. But I just love that. And if you want to learn more, please check out and connect with Atara.
some of the things that came up for me were being lazy, being passive, being an oversharer, being loudmouthed, being self-centered, and being judgmental. And when I really sat with all of the things that came up and all of the things that were bothering me, ultimately, the biggest aspect, the biggest shadow aspect that came up for me was being untrustworthy. And it came as a bit of a surprise for me. I had such a visceral reaction to it in so many areas of my life. So there was definitely infidelity in my family growing up, and anyone who was an adulterer was immediately sort of knocked down a peg in terms of their character and looked at differently. And I remember being a kid and hearing the way that those people who had cheated and slipped up or whatever were talked about. And I definitely internalized that and felt that maybe I had just inherited that and that I would inevitably be a cheater, and B, that those are terrible people. Anyone who cheats is a terrible person, and all kinds of stuff like that. Also, this untrustworthiness really links into the bad rap that Geminis get. I am a Gemini, and I remember reading a chart, like one of my natal chart on the internet as a young person, and it was essentially saying that I would never be faithful in love, that I would always bore easily, that I would probably be married multiple times. So there was a lot of fear around that. So definitely fear of being untrustworthy in my marriage, which is so interesting because I don't have a wandering eye at all. And I've never even been tempted in that way. Again, it was this fear that maybe I had just inherited it. So definitely was denying that aspect of self. Also, the fear of being untrustworthy in terms of being a gossip, being a Gemini, being someone who talks a lot, who overshares. And I was noticing that I was having a lot of judgment of other people on social media and being concerned with their oversharing and wondering why and feeling like people were sharing things that didn't feel authentic. So obviously, that's all me and my own projection, right? So there was untrustworthiness in relationship in terms of information, so gossip. And I started having shadowy feelings about, I've always been someone who's been super social and kept the company of a lot of people and kept in touch with a lot of people. And I started feeling like, what's that phrase? A friend to all is a friend to none. And so I started wondering if I was not trustworthy because I had too many friends, or was everyone in my circle there for an authentic reason, or was I holding on to people out of fear, or am I an opportunist, or just all kinds of feelings around that.
Ooh, I love that this member touches on this. So often when we are doing this work, we feel that it's very linear. We often hear this imprintation of programming from caretakers. And it's so interesting because even as Max, my fiance, goes through the work, he's like, actually, most of my blocks come from my peers. What peers thought was cool or not cool or bad or good. So it's a lot of his unblocking. And of course, this is layered. So this is why I always say programming can come from caretaker, which can be family, it can be peers, community, media. But this is one particular thing that I think is so important to unblock. And we have a whole explained episode on this that we will link below called Superstitions. I've done many blog posts on this in the past. This is why it's so important to look at any type of imprintation we've taken from forecasters. It can be psychics, astrology. I work with my team of them, but I work with a psychologic astrologer that looks at currently what's happening in my life. I will never work with or talk to future projectors because I fully believe in the power of the brain and our energetic output that we can create the life that our authentic, whole, worthy self came onto the planet to experience. And then that's filled with a lot of magic because it's true to ourselves. So I don't actually believe that we have to take in the imprintation that's given to us. So it's so important, and a due diligence to ourselves, to look back at any of these ones we've taken in that might currently be looping on our subconscious in ratio to what we're manifesting, that's pushing it away. One great example of one that I had was this Sikh man walked up to me in Los Feliz when I think I was around 23, and he said, "Let me read your palm," just on the street. And he looked at it and he said, "Oh, this line says that you will always be poor in your life." And I was like, you're right. I come from that. And so it really crushed me. And when I started doing this work, I went, no. That's not my truth. It's actually not at all in alignment with my whole worthy authentic self. So I'm going to unblock that. And I did, and everything shifted. So I just really, really love that highlight. And I encourage everybody who might even have some coming to mind right now, take a look at that later in the daily reprogramming exercise.
That word was also triggering in many other aspects of my life. I was worried that I was untrustworthy in terms of responsibility. So a big acting job, could I be trusted to show up on the day and carry things in that way? Also financially, for the most part in my family, the men earned the money and the women spent the money. So there was this residual fear that I could not be trusted with money if I were to earn it. And to be fair, in the past, when I did make a lot of money from acting, I was not educated and I did not use it wisely. And so there was that fear there. So it was a huge block. Of course, jobs and money were not going to come through if that was what I subconsciously felt about myself, that I could not be trusted. So it was really interesting, and all of the DIs were incredibly helpful this time around. I was able to take this through, and I was able to reprogram the situations in my childhood where I felt that someone had been untrustworthy and that they weren't to be loved. I was able to see them for their holistic self and to forgive them and myself in that way. So that was incredibly helpful. I also love the limiting beliefs DI, and I definitely discovered that there was one lying dormant under there that was like that it's just always going to be hard, that the path of an artist is always going to be hard, and I'll always, you know, probably be broke, or, you know, jobs won't always flow. And it was really beautiful to take a look at that.
Such a good example of a really clean sweep that she's taken through Unblock Shadow and how to use it to revisit multiple times. If you notice everything that she's talking about in this, they're all kind of spiderweb connected. And she's doing a great job at really touching all of those points, you know, and I can't wait to talk to Dr. Tara more about this, because I see this effect with clients and myself, well, former clients, I don't take them anymore, when you start to touch all the little spiderweb effects, or this can happen in EMDR as well, it's like a clean sweep going through. But she touched on such a valuable point. When I say clean sweep, I mean a clean sweep on all of her shadow words and how they're connected and how they're holding her back in career and just personal full magnetic projection right now.
My subconscious gave me a replacement mantra instead that I really love. So instead of clinging to that, it's always going to be a struggle mentality that really wasn't mine to begin with. It was adopted from teachers who were embittered artists themselves and things like that. Instead of clinging on to that and feeling safe and having that negative limiting belief, my subconscious taught me that it's totally safe to trust myself. And the replacement mantra was, I have been chosen for this path and I have all that I need to remain in my grace and stamina, which has been such a nice touchstone because obviously, yeah, it's not always going to be easy. No path is ever easy. Life is not easy. We're consistently growing, but having that replacement belief and leaning into the faith that I am armed with the tools that I need at any given time, it just feels a lot better.
One thing I really want to point out that I think is super important is that she said, and when I got down there and reprogrammed, I gave my brain another mantra. If you go back and listen to Dr. Tara's episode last week, again, it's linked below, there's a moment at the end that she gives a practice, and it's so key to listen to the extent of it. Because I saw somebody post on Instagram and say, Lacey needs to explain. She always talks poorly against affirmations. Mantras, you know, are very similar. There's many different mantras, seed mantras, blah, blah, blah. We won't get into that conversation, but essentially they're very similar. And you know, this person's like, she always talks poorly against affirmations. I do not mean against affirmations. I mean affirmations in a conscious state that haven't been addressed and given to your subconscious. What I mean by that is when somebody is just giving and saying a affirmation they've read in a book or picked up saying like, I will be rich. Let's just say, let's get into like Napoleon Hill or something. You know, there's a lot of that education out there, or affirmations can change your life or heal your life or something like that. There's many books. I've engaged with them all and they're great. However, I've seen the best results when you get down into your subconscious. So again, through a DI or whatever form you're doing that, you find the root memory, you reprogram it, and then you give yourself a new belief system. And so Dr. Tara said, from a neuroscience perspective, giving yourself the direct opposite of it. So let's say if we take in that I'm unlovable, then if you give yourself the direct opposite would be, I'm so extremely lovable by all. If you say that in the conscious state, totally blindly, you picked it up arbitrarily without looking at that subconscious root and switching it and showing your brain, it will not have nearly the quick, in my opinion, we can talk to Dr. Tara about this further, it will not work as quickly at creating this new neural pathway of belief. It certainly hasn't for me. It hasn't for clients in the past. However, if you listen to this particular member's experience, she said she went down there, reprogrammed it, and gave herself a new mantra. Now, when you go and you reinforce that new mantra in the conscious state, when these triggers come up again, think of how quickly, I know this firsthand, of how quickly you're actually really engaging this new neural pathway to become stronger than the old low self-worth shadow one.
I also got a lot out of the fantasy projections this time and loved thinking of the public figures that I was inspired by, and really discovered that my dreams are even bigger than just a career that's, you know, an acting career that's in flow. I want to be an influential storyteller. I want to be a leader in feminine business design within the entertainment industry. And I want to be a super driven chameleon. And the cool thing is that the subconscious is so damn permeable. Two of the women who came up for me in terms of being public figures who I admire have since visited me in dreams and have agreed to mentor me. So that's cool. Cool bonus right there. But going forward, I am so excited that I was able to discover this in the shadow workshop this time. And I'm able to reframe it in that anything that is a shadow is actually a superpower, especially as an actor. And I know that Lacey has always said that, but anything that I'm denying or feeling shame about, that is gold for an actor. And I mean, there's always a reason for the synchronicity, but I'm in a scene study class at the moment, and the character that I'm tackling is a 44-year-old alcoholic adulterer. So not something that I would get the chance to play in real life at this time. But of course, right after I do this shadow workshop, that character comes up. And if I weren't friendly with the similarities between myself and that character, if I weren't embracing those aspects of myself, I literally could not do this work. So it is very empowering as an actor to look at the shadow and to make friends with it and to know that it's actually my toolbox. So I'm really trying to be diligent about any aspects of shadow that come up in the future and to really take a look at them, because they are my arsenal as an actor and they help my soul grow in this lifetime. So as always, so, so grateful for this work. And now I'm looking forward to moving on to up level, the next level, armed with the knowledge of these new shadow explorations. So, so excited to go get that supercharge and grateful that I had the impulse to go ahead and lean into the workshop that scared me. That's usually where the magic is. And I have noticed that lately this work has helped me definitely reach new levels of deservingness and self-worth, but you're never gonna stay there. There will always be new triggers and always new things. So instead of beating myself up when I find more shadow aspects or more triggers or low self-worth, I really just want to continue to lean into the work and know that this is what it means to be a human. Sometimes you're going to feel shitty and that's okay, but that's why we have these tools and it's all good.
I'm quickly interrupting today's episode to tell you about the Pathway 2.0, which is our all-access portal that encompasses every single workshop we have, including our monthly class called Supported, where any member can write in with any question they're having along the way about their process, and Jessica, my co-host, and I answer them. This also includes our free clarity exercise, which is linked below. So if you are having trouble coming up with clarity of what you want to manifest, what you want out of life, your purpose, we highly recommend checking out that free exercise to get a taste of what the pathway's like. And inside of it, it'll have journaling prompts, as well as our deep imaginings, our own process to hypnosis, to get to the root of those subconscious blocks, reprogram them, and create the new neural pathways to loop on a new projection. We have a special code for podcast listeners exclusive, which is EXPANDED, all caps EXPANDED, for $20 off your first month of the Pathway 2.0, and regular rate for the remainder 12 months commitment will incur after, or $20 off any 2.0 a la carte courses. One last recommendation, if you're having a hard time finding clarity, I highly recommend clicking the link below called The Motivation. And this is the free portal, you can find it on the homepage, that has every single testimony we've ever received from Pathway members. And depending on what you're trying to manifest, there's tabs for each thing. You will be able to find expanders, which could lead to the next crumb of clarity you're looking for. All right, back to today's episode.
Hi Lacey, hi Jessica, and everyone at To Be Magnetic. I'm speaking to you from Sydney in Australia. I'm very excited to be sharing my everyday energetic story with you. Before I start, I just want to express my real genuine gratitude to you for this life-changing work. It's revolutionized my life and I really recommend it to everyone. And yeah, I'm extremely grateful. It's the right word for it. The other thing is that there's a very loud bird outside. So if you hear it during it, it's just Australia. We've got a lot of birds. Also, in case it helps, I'm a Virgo generator with a Pisces moon and a Leo rising. I know you all like to cosmically profile as much as I do, so I thought I'd slip that in before I started my story. So I've been on the pathway for about 6 months now. I've worked through all the workshops. I do the work daily. So I will do a DRE more or less every morning or evening if I'm really busy. And then if anything comes up, I take it back through, say, shadow or inner child, depending on what's happening. I really love up level. I've used that many times. And I've also used rock bottom when I needed it. And it was such a fantastic support when I suddenly felt that very specific feeling. And I think it's great because, of course, you know, no matter how much work we do on ourselves, there's always more work to do. And the more you do, the more you uncover. So that was an incredible support to me when I needed it. What I've uncovered has often been surprising, vague memories that actually, well, I've realized have had a profound impact on decisions I've made, and it's kind of the stories I tell myself about myself. And in doing this, quite a lot of cool, like, external things have happened. But the thing that I tell people and the thing that I think is the really significant shift is in my relationship to myself and the kind of increasing clarity I feel. You know, I described it to a friend as having like a fog lifting. And yeah, it's interesting because it's not, you know, we talk about manifestation, but a lot of the cool things have happened because I felt the self-worth to go after them as opposed to things coming to me externally. I mean, some cool things have also come to me as well. So the main thing I've been calling in is getting my first novel published. So what that means is signing with either an agent or a publisher, because I've written this literary fiction novel, so it's possible it could just go straight to a publisher. It's probably important to note that this is realistic, that it could happen in the next 3 to 6 months. It's a book I've worked on for a long time, and it's been independently, like I've been through programs here in Australia for emerging writers, and it's at that point, like it's ready for its published life.
So I just want to take a quick moment here and recognize that this particular member mentions that getting this book published is believable within the next 3 to 9 months. And that's a big part of how to manifest. And I just really want to nail this on the head for people who might be struggling. We get this question a lot. Some people will ask, how do I know when to manifest big picture things versus small picture things? And again, the answer always comes down to how expanded is your subconscious and how unblocked are you in ratio to this thing? And I just really love that she highlights why this is believable in the next 3 to 6 months for her. We always say 3 to 9 months. And she backs that up with programs she's been in for emerging writers. Any notoriety that she's experienced has led her to know that this is possible.
So the situation I was in is that I have had actually interest from publishers here in Australia and actually overseas, but somehow it just wouldn't work out for whatever reason. And when I started TBM, I thought this would be a really cool thing to work through. But I had no idea just how much was in my subconscious about having my work out in the world. So in this specific case, the Everyday Energetics story I'm going to tell you, a mentor had suggested that I look through books and find agents who are mentioned in the acknowledgements, like books that I like and that I think are similar to my book. So I did this with a few books I really loved, and then I saw an agent's name mentioned a few times. And so I thought I'd look her up online, and there was hardly any information about her. And apart from the fact, I realized that she was head of the literary division at quite a major agency. So I still felt pretty good about it. And I put my pitch sort of cover email that you put through, because the one bit of information I did find online was that she accepted pitches via email in an email address I had to, you know, do my best internet sleuthing to find.
What a fantastic way to find expanders. Having that mention, that suggestion, that ping come to her. Pings, again, can come in the form of other people speaking it to you, the download, the intuitive download you receive, reading it somewhere, having something mentioned a few times in a row. And so the suggestion of going to look at the books that are like the book that she's writing with the acknowledgement to the different agents, not only is that fantastic as a great gauge to look through and see which ones ping you personally to reach out to, but what a fantastic way to extend your process of expanding, right? These books are similar to mine and they were successful or they were published, therefore mine can be as well. So I just want you to notice that this is two-pronged. It's very good at highlighting not only listening to pings, but also using the process to further fragment, expand yourself. That's the expanded piece. Let's get into the unblocking piece.
And I had it already. And just as I was about to press send, I felt this kind of physical resistance to doing it. And it wasn't like, you know, when you get that gut feeling that it's not the right time or maybe hold off. No, this was certainly fear or some sort of block. And of course, as I was deep in my To Be Magnetic work, I took it straight through the DREs and I used Reclaiming Authenticity, I think it was called then. And I think now it's Triggers, but it was similar because it was just as you were transitioning from 1.0 to 2.0. So usually when I do a DRE, I mean, I am a writer after all, I always journal everything out. But in this case, I was so in my emotions and in this block, it was so present in front of me. I just went straight in, like I went straight into it. And the thing that happened was, as soon as I was, you know, looking back at a time this had happened before, instantly I uncovered a memory of being 10 years old. And I wouldn't have been able to tell you this story. Like it's not like one of my stories that are strong in my life. It just all came back to me in an instant. And what had happened was we call it primary school here, elementary school I went to, they announced that they were going to have a school newspaper. And I was so excited because even then I loved to write and I loved all this communication and everything. And I really quickly wrote my submission letter to my teacher. And out of everyone in the class or the grade, I was certainly probably the most likely to get it. And I just couldn't believe my luck. I just remember that joy of getting to do this project that I really wanted to do. And a few days later, the teacher announced to the class who the editor would be. But before she made the announcement, she told this story that the whole class just couldn't stop laughing about how someone had written a letter to be editor and it was filled with writing mistakes. And the whole class laughed. I think I even laughed, like, who would do that? And then she announced the positions and I got the worst, like lowest position on the newspaper and some other kid got to be editor. And as she announced it, it was obvious that, oh, I was the kid who had written that terrible letter. I was the kid who had all the mistakes in it. And I realized that in my sheer enthusiasm, I don't think I'd even reread the letter. I just gave it to her because, you know, I'm 10 years old. I'm excited. And that sort of humiliation, I think, locked in. And I mean, even though she didn't name me, it was a humiliating experience because, of course, it was pretty obvious it was me because I was the most writerly type kid in the class and I got the worst position. So I think it locked in this belief that I need, A, to be perfect to be acceptable, and I am a Virgo, and that writing is risky as well.
Yeah, so I too do this, and I'm on a pretty big roll of up-leveling right now, and I think we all collectively are experiencing so many triggers that are calling us into the next level of our lives. So I love that she highlights the moment she's about to press send, massive fear comes up for her, and she realizes it's nothing but a subconscious process she has to work through. She has to get to the bottom of it. So I personally want to invite everybody, this is a great way to approach this work. Say you're too busy right now with your membership to be doing all of the workshops at once. You know, we have a lot going on in our lives, just trying to find our grounding. But if you can practice this, the moment you feel a trigger, the next moment that you have free to go and address it in a daily reprogramming exercise through the journal prompts and the quick DI, you are ahead of the game because you're chipping away very precisely at each of your trigger blocks that are coming up, which are again the roadmap to show you down in your subconscious where you're literally projecting and looping out, stay back from me. So let's say you don't have the time right now to be doing the full inner child workshop or the shadow workshop or, you know, these ones that take a little bit more effort. Take this trigger anytime you're feeling a trigger in the day, even if you have to flip out your phone and you have an iPhone note that says triggers, write it down to come back and address it. And just do that once a day when you're finding your triggers. Maybe it's every 3 days. You know, you have intervals before you're triggered. Use that energy. It will speed up this process so quickly for you. And you don't have to beat yourself up. I know that that can be a part of perfectionism when you have a membership or you have workshops that you're like, I'm not doing this every day. Let that be your practice for 3 months when you're really busy. Look, anytime I feel a trigger, I'm going to address it that day. Watch how quickly this process works for you.
So in the reprogramming, I saw the teacher. Not that I had become editor, but I saw the teacher took me aside and told me that I wouldn't be editor, but encouraged me to keep trying rather than humiliating me in front of the class. And the thing that's kind of wild now is even telling the story, like right now, that memory of the teacher talking to me, so like my reprogramming, it feels more real than the real memory, like the true memory, which is the fact that I was humiliated. So I came back, you know, I did the rest of the exercises in the DRE and came back to my computer and then I just clicked send, just sent the email off, no block, no nothing. Went to sleep because I had sent it, you know, in Australia, we're on the other side of the world, so we're all in a different time zone. So I'd sent it early morning New York time. Woke up the next morning, I think I went to maybe get a coffee and I checked my email, which I don't normally do on my phone, and I saw that I actually had received a reply from that New York agent. So 10 hours later or whatever. I mean, it's unusual to get a reply at all from agents. They're inundated with emails from people who want to get their books published. And it's a tough industry in some ways in that, competitive, I should say. So to get one back within 10 hours was remarkable. And she said she loved the sound of my book and she'd love to read the full manuscript. And in the end, She didn't take on the book. Like, we went through this email process and everything, but she was so kind. And she really was this massive expander for me, because she showed that what I'd been calling in was possible. And she did actually compliment my writing in many ways and to give me good suggestions. And through this process, it sort of fundamentally shifted. Like, I noticed now when I talk about my book, it's not just being validated by someone, but I actually feel expanded that, yes, I'm on the right track. Yes, this is correct, that this is the path for me. And I almost can't even remember how I felt before that, because now it's like, yeah, it's expansion. It's just a different feeling altogether.
And I don't have a lot to say about the exact way that she reprogrammed. I mean, it was perfect. So anybody who's been having trouble or asking the question, you know, when they're down in the deep imagining or hypnosis, and they say, what do you mean when you say reprogram? That was the perfect highlight. Get a healing and make sure at the end of whatever that healing is that you feel in your worth. And it's really interesting because the way that she reprogrammed paralleled sort of the response that she received. And so what I mean by that, and then I'll get into the response, is that she saw the teacher telling her, keep trying. Basically, that was the way that she nurtured this. And therefore, let's move into the response she received. I want to really touch on that for a second, because it's such a clear example at the magic of our brain. So neuroscience and psychology, and then how that parlays into what we project and receive back. So she was expanded to know that it's possible for her to receive an agent or to get her book published. We would argue that there's a little bit more expanding to do based on the outcome, which is so exciting. So that's one part. But B, we needed to find the block, right? Because in the past, she had never heard anything back or had success. And then bam, the moment that she really got the true root memory that is still blocking her, that is still projecting and saying, stay back, this is bad, this is going to be hard. Most importantly, what's at the root of every single block? This is shame. Shame is the block that blocks us from manifesting, right? I always talk about three things have to be congruently in action to manifest: expansion, unblocked, and in your worth or passing tests. So I love how she reprogrammed, and then the response, she finally heard back. And in fact, what she heard back from this agent was the perfect exact replica of how she had reprogrammed. She complimented the writing, she helped tell her suggestions of how to make it better. And most importantly, that really shows, based on the response she's receiving back, right? Projecting into the world and receiving back, she was able to expand even further. But most importantly, what it shows is that there was further expansion needed. So with that wound, that shame, she's now out expanding the imprintation that she isn't a good writer, or she's not good enough, or that she grammatically isn't on point. Even though she just was excited and a child, it shows how what we imprint in those formative years, we continue to project out and receive back. So that was such a clear example of a block. And I talk about this all the time. When an opportunity comes through that isn't the manifestation itself, it does not mean that you're off track or this isn't going to work or it's a sign from the universe. It doesn't mean any of that. It just shows that you're needing further expansion and that it's showing you that you're right on the right track. Like, it's so close. You just need to expand and make sure you're unblocked fully to receive this thing. I'm so proud of this member. It's the perfect highlight of that.
And now, actually, sometimes when I do send emails out for things to do with my book, I do kind of check in on that 10-year-old self. And I can always see her sitting with the teacher, kind of having a light, nice conversation about how I could do it better. And it works. It works. It changes my feeling about the whole thing. And one cool thing I actually remembered as I was submitting this Everyday Energetic story is that in the end, I actually did become the editor of that primary school newspaper, because after a few months, I mean, I can't remember exactly what happened, but I think the kid that was editor dropped out for whatever reason, didn't want to do it. And I had written every single article through every issue of that newspaper because I loved it so much. And in the end, even though I did write this mistake-filled application letter, I actually did get the role in the end. And it's kind of a nice memory to have because it makes me think, I don't know, it's like a lesson from my younger self. Like one of my mentors here in Australia always says, persistence pays. And I feel like that's a really cute example of how it does, because in some ways, like that newspaper mattered more to me than many other things in my adult life. When you're a kid, it was so big to me. So that's my everyday energetic story. I'm still talking to agents and publishers and doing the work. Stuff comes up all the time, but I feel like I'm getting closer to meeting or connecting to the right people. And I just keep saying to myself, you wrote the book you wanted to write. And that's actually the most important thing to me. And it's a very different feeling to how I felt prior to doing my To Be Magnetic work. So thank you so much. I hope you're all well. And thanks again.
I really want to touch on the programming that this member is still taking in is persistence always pays off. And it even shows, even as childhood imprintation, she ended up actually getting the editor position. However, I love Dr. Tara. An episode ago, we talked about when you experience trauma, and in this circumstance, the stakes were so high because it was her biggest soul passion, her authentic soul's passion. And I asked Dr. Tara, I said, you know, when we experience trauma, does that create a new neural pathway quicker than, say, if we're reinforcing something positive, which she affirmed. And in this particular circumstance, it goes to show so clearly how we are born, our truly whole, authentic, worthy selves, and we experience pain, shame, programming that we have to peel the onion layers back on to really just get back to who we are. And that was a really good example of it was so pure and she was so pure and already on her authentic journey, but this imprintation of shame froze her, blocked her. It was still sitting in her subconscious mind, which you can go back and Dr. Tara also talks about. I want to point this out as a teaching. You start to graduate when you're doing the unblocked work. It's part of like the energetic up-leveling. And now that she's been able to heal, and I imagine this was actually recorded a bit ago, so I imagine she's already gotten here herself. She's obviously very dedicated and so intelligent and incredible on her journey of her own practice. So I imagine she's already arrived at this, but she did the healing of getting down there and reprogramming that belief. And then she went on to end up sort of manifesting that similar experience, right? She called in the agent who gave her great feedback and was mentoring her just a tiny bit. And then she has a mentor that says, you know, persistence always wins. However, now that she's arrived at that subconscious priming, that she's unblocked to that level, she's expanded to that level. Now, when you get to this place, it's time to continue unblocking. So unblocking that programming from the mentor that persistence, you know, is what wins. That doesn't have to be true at all. And out expanding that as well, finding the expanders who didn't have to just beat away. Going back to that memory now and shifting it entirely to where she ends up getting the editor position. So it's building on subconscious beliefs through that ladder system of expansion, unblocking, expansion, unblocking. So I just want to point that out for everybody who's doing the work. That's certainly how I approach it. And that's how you continue to uplevel. And this is such a vulnerable, an eloquent, beautiful example of unblocking. So I just want to give the warmest thanks. I hope we're all giving that in our hearts. And I hope we got a lot out of that experience. And by now, I'm holding the vision that this member has already or is very close to getting this book published. So our thanks and gratitude, every month we announce a new winner of a 5-star review to give away a 1-year membership to the pathway. So this is the handle. When you hear this handle, make sure to write into us so we can give you your pathway membership. It's Tiny House Gal. Thank you, universe. I started to listen to this podcast after seeing a friend share about it on Instagram. I was instantly drawn. Lacey's teachings and the energy you can feel even through a podcast recording. It wasn't until a few weeks into listening and a few days after enrolling in the pathway that I revisited some old journal entries and it clicked that I had actually manifested this teaching and this guidance. At the end of 2019, I had chosen three qualities I wanted to grow in myself in 2020. The first was magnetic. I mean, whoa, that's crazy. I'm saying that personally. This isn't part of the writing. Only a few weeks into doing the work, I have received several micro manifestations and have seen 25% growth in my business. All of this in less than a month. I can't wait to dig in more and keep growing and unblocking. Thank you so much, Tiny House Gal. It is because of all of you, you listeners. We are so grateful every single week to bring you content. And this is just our show of gratitude. And in an effort to make sure to have representation in this process series, go ahead and submit any process testimonials you have, especially to our LGBTQ+ community, our Black and BIPOC, as well as the WISE, which is anyone in the community who is 45 and over. All right, we'll be back next week.